Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, where this is episode number 177. I am your host, Rick Mulready. Really appreciate you for giving me your time today. Hope all's going well, whatever you're up to. On the show today, I'm going to be answering questions that I've been getting over the last while. I've actually been getting a lot of questions, and I chose a group of them today because I think the answers to these questions can really benefit a lot of you. And I'm going to be talking about things like tips for using Facebook ads to grow a nonprofit. I'm going to dive into why a lead campaign might not be getting any traction. We're going to talk about what to do if you're getting a high relevance score, high positive feedback, but also you're seeing high negative feedback. We're going to talk about what to do and what maybe that might mean. We're going to try and diagnose why you might not be seeing conversions in Ads Manager, but you are seeing them in your email CRM and also your landing page tool like Lead Pages. We're going to talk about best practices for optimizing your Facebook ad campaign and how to reach a specific target audience when you can't get very specific with your Facebook ads targeting. So we're going to dive into all those questions here today. And I'm really looking forward to this episode for you. But first, this is the first episode that I'm recording after my wife Amy and I got back from 3 weeks in Paris and London. And frankly, both of us are really glad to be back and getting back into our routines. We had a good time, but it was maybe I'll save this for another time, but it was a kind of a comedy of things that went not as planned, shall we say. And while we were on our trip, Facebook came out, Mark Zuckerberg came out with this big announcement about the newsfeed algorithm update. And basically, they're saying that in an effort to get back to its roots, they want to be, quote unquote, helping bring people closer together and stay connected with their friends and family, which basically means they're going to prioritize the post friends and family posts in the newsfeed. And as with most changes on Facebook, people freaked out. And I talked about this. I addressed it in an update on a Facebook Live that I did on my Facebook page the morning of the announcement. I also emailed my list about it to talk about my thoughts. And so since this is the first time I'm back recording an episode from the trip, I thought I would just kind of briefly talk about it here on the show before we dive into the Q&A. By the way, if we're not connected on Facebook or if you're not on my email list, I'd love to connect with you in both of those places. My Facebook page is, you can find it at rickmulready.com/Facebook page. And also you can join my email list over at rickmulready.com. And I'd love to connect with you in both of those places. So basically what Facebook is coming out here and saying is that in order to make these priorities as far as staying connected with their friends and family, they want to be cleaning up, quote unquote, the newsfeed and kind of getting back to its roots. And Facebook is saying, quote unquote, they're going to be gradually introducing updates to news to the newsfeed that increases the weight that they put on friend interactions, okay? And also posts that inspire conversations and interactions, such as comments, shares, and reactions. Those types of posts are also going to be prioritized over posts that are consumed passively. So, you know, kind of as you scroll through, glance at something, consume it, and then keep scrolling. Those are the types of posts that are going to not be shown as much and not be giving as much priority in the newsfeed. And Facebook is saying that pages may start to see a decline in their organic reach, referral traffic, and total video watch time also decreasing. Although posts that lead to more meaningful interactions will see less of an impact. So basically what they're saying is if you are providing good content and high value to your target audience and you're getting engagement on those posts, those are likely going to be less impacted, okay? But at the same time, they've also come out and said that they're going to continue to work to better understand the types of posts that promote that meaningful interaction, particularly for business pages. Basically, what they say right there is they're not quite sure. They're trying to figure out what that quote unquote meaningful interaction really means. Okay, so kind of a work in progress, as most things that roll out on Facebook. This is going to be kind of the same type of thing. But I do want to say, with all of this, okay, as advertisers on Facebook, breathe easy. Facebook isn't making any changes right now to its ad ranking, so advertising is not going to be affected as far as we can see. Okay. Facebook is being very clear on this, though. Okay. In addition to advertising not really being affected, they don't want people doing any kind of quote unquote engagement baiting, as they call it. So that's one thing they are very clear on. And that's something that they've been talking about for a while now. So all this that they've come out and said has been going on Facebook for a while. And I think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook is kind of in the press and stuff, took a big hit, or has been taking a big hit over the last while. And, you know, they've just come out and provided clarity about what their plan is for the platform. So I think this is a really good thing, guys. If you've been approaching Facebook ads, as I've been talking about what seems like forever, last few years, focusing on value first and providing great and helpful content to serve your audience, this algorithm update shouldn't affect you much. Okay. You can still create and promote posts that about your products or services and promotions. And Facebook is being very clear that businesses can continue to do things like create value and promote engagement within things like groups, or reply to customer questions on your content via comments and messaging and so forth, creating events to connect with your customers, and still uploading relevant videos that add value to your customers, and providing updates about your products and services to your audience. Okay. So again, guys, this is a good thing. This really, from an advertising perspective, doesn't change anything. This is going to start to clean out the clutter that has kind of built up on Facebook. And again, if you've been approaching Facebook ads, as I've been talking about for a few years now, focusing on creating content that serves and adds value to your customers and your target audience, it really doesn't change things from an advertising perspective. Now, if you've been relying on Facebook for organic traffic, you are going to see some changes there. Okay. So the bottom line here is keep focusing on creating content that serves your target audience and adds value to them, and you should be just fine. Okay. So again, this is really no different than what's been going on in the platform for a while. Again, from an organic standpoint, yes, this does change things up, but focus on value, focus on serving your target audience and creating the type of content that people want to engage with and share with their friends and colleagues, and you should be just fine. Okay. So any questions on that, hit me up on the Facebook page, as I mentioned before, rickmulready.com/Facebook page. And there's some Facebook Lives over there as well, as I mentioned, that I did while I was on the trip to address all this, and a lot of conversation going on over there. So I want to be able to talk about that before we jump into the Q&A, which we should do right now. Let's jump into the Q&A. And the first question is from Jason Wills. And Jason says, I've run a couple of different lead campaigns for a client over the last few weeks, and I've had zero results. No leads, barely any reach, 72 over the last 5 days, 72 for a reach over the last 5 days, and nothing being spent from the budget barely. I've double checked everything and it's all set up correctly. This current campaign that has been running for 5 days, $200 budget, and only 94 cents have been spent so far. Audience targeting and everything looked good when it was set up. This is for a new membership deal for a gym, if that's helpful. No payments till March kind of thing. So first of all, thanks Jason for the question here. You know, this is kind of a common issue when we start an ad and we just don't get any traction from the ad at all. Normally, what I would say, the first thing I would want to check in this sort of situation here is the relevance score. But there's not enough data. Like, so you're not going to see a relevance score because only 94 cents have been spent. And the reach in this case here is only 72. And so my guess is that Facebook is not showing it based on its, I mean, it could be the offer that is being shown to the audience, right? That there could be some sort of disconnect there. That could be the case. Or in this sort of situation, maybe it just sort of got lost in the algorithm a little bit. And this has happened to me in the past where we start an ad or start a campaign or start an ad set and we just don't get any traction from it. So in that case there, what I'll do is I'll just stop the ad, I'll duplicate it, and I'll just start it again. And so when you duplicate it, it's introducing, you know, the algorithm sees it as a new ad. And so, you know, it just hopefully that sort of kickstarts things. So that's what I'd recommend to Jason here. Stop this existing ad set or the campaign, whatever. I don't know how many ad sets he's got going here, but stop the campaign, start it again, and see what happens by sort of kickstarting it in the algorithm. Now, the other thing I'd want to say here is Jason says, he says, I've run a couple of different lead campaigns for a client over the last few weeks and I have zero results. In that case there, I might consider changing up the approach. You know, we don't want to keep banging our head against the wall if something's not working. I'm not saying that this is the case, but I would be, if we're running lead ads and we're not seeing any results over the past couple of weeks, then maybe at that point, it might be time to change things up. Maybe go with a different type of ad. Maybe go with a conversions objective and try that and send it to a landing page. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't sound like that's the problem. It just sounds like what I would do here, as I mentioned, is just stop the existing one, duplicate it and restart it to get it going in the algorithm again. So I hope that's helpful for you, Jason. That's a common question I get from a lot of people, you know, what to do when, you know, your campaign isn't getting any traction when it starts. And that's how I would handle it. So the next question comes from Allison Hernandez. Allison wants to know any recommendations for nonprofits. And this is a question I get a lot. So there's lots of different ways that a nonprofit can take advantage of Facebook ads. The biggest challenge that nonprofits have oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, is they don't have a lot of money to spend on Facebook ads. Well, the cool thing is that you don't have to spend a lot of money to get traction with Facebook ads. And the first thing that I'd be doing and leveraging Facebook ads is, number one, you can get very targeted, right, using Facebook ads targeting. So you could target your ideal audience, who you want to be reaching for the nonprofit. So that's number one. I would be then sharing your story of the nonprofit. Share the why, share the story behind it, share who you serve, how you help people. I'd be definitely be doing video in this case. So share your story to your targeted ideal audience. Another thing I would be doing is if you have an email list, especially if you have an email list of supporters, then I'd be uploading that email list into Facebook so that you can advertise to those people again, especially again, if they're supporters, they're more likely to support you again, so you could get in front of them on Facebook. You could also then create a lookalike audience of those supporters. So just as a quick recap, what a lookalike audience is Facebook will take that base audience. In this case here, it's our list of supporters, and then find you a brand new audience of people on Facebook with similar attributes as to the people who are on your, in your base audience. In this case, again, this would be similar people to those people who have supported you. So you could create a lookalike audience from your supporters. You could use Facebook ads to get people to visit your website. You could use Facebook ads to get people to sign up for your email list. So definitely be building your email list. You could also be using Facebook ads to amplify events or other important content to your target audience. So if you've got an event coming up or, I don't know, a donation drive or any kind of other important content that you want to make sure that your target audience gets to see or you want to get in front of them, use Facebook ads to do that. So lots of different ways for a nonprofit to leverage Facebook ads to grow. And again, you don't have to spend a lot of money in order to see traction from doing the types of things that I've just mentioned here. So I'll just recap that real quick. Number one, you can get very targeted with Facebook ads. You can get in front of your ideal audience for the nonprofit. I would be getting in front of your ideal audience with your story. So share the story of the nonprofit. Who do you help? What's the why? What's the story behind it? You know, why was it created? Who are the people that you help? How do you help them? I would definitely be doing this in video format. Another thing that you could do is to upload your email list, especially if that email list is your supporters. So you could upload your email list and then advertise to those people. Again, you could create a lookalike audience of that email list or the list of supporters to get in front of a brand new audience. You could use ads to drive people to your website. You could use Facebook ads to get people to sign up for your email list. You could use Facebook ads to amplify events or other important content to your target audience. So again, if you're having a fundraising drive or a fundraising event or something like that, some sort of important content that you want to get in front of people, you can use Facebook ads to amplify it and get in front of your target audience. And you really don't need to spend a lot of money to get traction for a nonprofit. So great question. Thank you so much for asking that, Allison. The next question comes from Haya Daba. I think I'm pronouncing that right, Haya. If I'm not, I apologize. Haya writes, I have a beginner's question. When it's time to optimize a campaign, do we optimize the same ad set or do we duplicate it and then do the changes on the newly duplicated ad set? My understanding is that we can change the budget on the original ad set, but for other changes, like making a change to targeting and placements, it's best to do it in the duplicated ad set. However, I notice that every time I duplicate and do changes on the new ad set in order to focus on things like the best performing age range or the best performing placement, the performance of the campaign drops drastically. So this is let me first acknowledge that yes, you do not want to make big changes to an ad set while it's running. Like you don't want to make a change to the targeting or change the image or anything like that because it will confuse the algorithm. So if you're going to make a big change like that, you definitely want to stop the ad set and then start a new one, right? And so my question for Haya, the first question I would be, since they're not getting the results when Haya duplicates and they're not seeing the results there, are you stopping the original ad set or are you running both of them? So are you keeping the original ad set running and then also running the newly duplicated one? Because you might see, and again, I don't know how big the target audience here is, but it might be too much audience, you know, too much competition, like you're competing against yourself. If it's a smaller audience size. If it's a large audience size, I'm less worried about that. But if it's a smaller one, you could be competing against yourself and thus driving the performance of the newly duplicated ad set down. Now, I love what you're doing here with this example here. So you're running an ad set and let's just say you're running multiple placements and let's just say your ad set is, you know, you're targeting men and women 18 to 45. Okay. Well, what Haya is saying here is they're looking at the best performing age range. So you're using the breakdown dropdown in Ads Manager to look at the age range of between 18 and 45. I think that's the example I just used. You're looking at which age range within that larger overall age range is performing the best. And then using that information to scale into that specific age range. So kudos to Haya for doing that, number one. And then also looking at which of the placements is performing the best and then scaling into that placement or those few placements again as well on the new ad set. So I'd have to look at the rest of the stats where it's like, you know, the performance of the campaign drops drastically. I'd want to look at the relevance score. You know, what is the click-through rate of that ad? Are we sending people to a landing page? You know, what's the conversion rate on that landing page? I'd be looking at those different types of stats. But the first question I'd want to know is, are you stopping the original ad set or are you running both of them? And then how big is the potential target audience that you are targeting? Because if it's on the smaller side, then you could very well be competing against yourself if you're still running both of them. So that's the first answer I'd want to know. And then I'd want to be looking at things like, again, relevance score, click-through rate, that sort of thing, to try to diagnose what's going on with that second duplicated ad set. So that is how I'd handle that question. But in general here, yes, you do not want to make big changes to an ad set while it's currently running. You can make some, you know, budget changes like Haya is saying, but you don't want to make big changes like targeting or image or placement or something like that. You'd want to stop it and start something new with the changes that you'd want to make. All right. The next question comes from Kristen Nadaske. What's up, Kristen? Kristen says, hey, Rick, I have a client in Canada and the demographic targeting is severely limited compared to the U.S. Do you think it's still worthwhile to continue advertising? Then I need some more information than that. And Kristen does give it there. She says, to give a little bit more information, my client has a lawn service company. However, I can't even limit the demographics to homeowners, which means the ads could be delivering to a lot of people who would never have a need of the services that he offers. I don't want him to keep paying for ads that are not going to yield results. So this is another common question that comes up a lot, is if I can't get specifically targeted to my ideal target audience, like in this case here, Chris would want to be reaching homeowners, for example, because it's a lawn service company. Well, in this case here, number one, don't discount the value of awareness and branding. And so don't discount that, because we never know who is going to be in our target audience that who, you know, maybe they have, I don't know, a vacation property, or maybe they have friends who are our ideal target audience. So we never want to discount the power of the awareness and branding opportunity. That's number one. In this case here, what I would do is I would target from a geographic standpoint. I would get as targeted as I possibly could to where this lawn service company serves, you know, the area that they serve. And I would put my ad and I'd create an offer to reach that area, because I can't reach, you know, homeowners from like we can here in the US in this example. Then I'd want to get as geographically targeted as I possibly can. And so I'm getting specific with the targeting as much as I possibly can, but then I'm using the ad copy and the ad itself to speak directly to my target audience. And so again, this is something that comes up a lot when we feel like we can't get very targeted with our Facebook ads targeting. Get as targeted as you can, and then use the ad to speak directly to your target audience. Okay. And so Kristen, I know I answered this question for Kristen already, and she was going to take this and go back. So I'm interested to hear how it goes. But first, you know, obviously identify in this example here, what is the area that the lawn service company serves? Target that area, get as targeted as you possibly can, and then use the ad itself to speak to that target audience. Now, another strategy there is, you know, knowing as much as you possibly can about this lawn service company's clients. You know, who are their existing customers? Who are they trying to reach? And then be looking at, you know, what types of brands are they into? Where do they normally shop? And look at those types of things. What are their hobbies? That sort of thing. So again, it's kind of taking a step back and thinking about our target audience from a holistic level and using the ad to speak directly to the people that we're trying to reach. So kind of a two-pronged approach there that I would be testing out for this lawn service company in Canada. All right. The next question comes from Mary Bence Gilkerson. And Mary writes, question regarding relevance scores and negative feedback. I have an ad with a relevance score of 9. There's high positive feedback on it, but also high negative feedback as well. Should I turn the ad off even though it's delivering well? I'm concerned about the long-term impact of high negative feedback. I'm seeing the same pattern with relevance scores of 8, 9, and 10 with high positive feedback and medium to high negative feedback over a lot of my ads and posts. Is this something to be concerned about? Well, the first thing I want to do is acknowledge Mary for looking at these stats the way that she is. So kudos to you, Mary, for looking at the relevance score, number one, but also paying attention to the feedback, both positive and negative, because we do know that you don't want to keep continuously be getting negative feedback on your ads, because it kind of all adds up in your Facebook ads profile, if you will. In this example here, what Mary's talking about, where she's getting relevant scores of 8, 9, and 10 with high positive feedback, but she's also seeing that medium to high negative feedback, I really wouldn't worry about it, because she's got such high relevant scores and also high positive feedback along with that. I would keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't be concerned a whole lot about it. Definitely keep an eye on the negative feedback, though. But in this example here, with the high relevance scores of 8, 9, and 10, and the high positive feedback, I really wouldn't be too concerned about it. Just keep an eye on it. Now, if you had low relevance scores, you know, and that high negative feedback, that's a different story. I would be concerned about that, because you don't want to be getting that. We have to remember that negative feedback means that people are choosing not to see your ad or hiding your ad. And because Facebook is so competitive now, it's so competitive, what's being seen in the newsfeed, then, you know, Facebook only wants to be showing the highest value content. And if people are hiding your posts or your ads, then that's not a good thing. So, but in this case here, with, you know, relevant scores of 8, 9, and 10, high positive feedback to go along with that medium to high negative feedback, I wouldn't really worry about it too much. Not in my book a big cause for concern. Keep an eye on it. Mary says it's delivering well, and so I would continue forward there, keeping an eye on it. Nice work, Mary. Really, really good job in keeping an eye on everything and putting together some really good ads with some great relevance scores of 8, 9, and 10. All right. The next question comes from Jenna Kefalis. I think I'm pronouncing that right, Jenna. I apologize if I'm not. It says, I'm having an issue where Ads Manager doesn't seem to be tracking my conversions. In my case, opt-ins to my email list via a cheat sheet. I know I've gotten 6 conversions in the last 2 days based on my AWeber notifications and lead pages, but Ads Manager shows 0. My pixel is on the thank you page and it's working. I've tested it with the pixel helper in Chrome, and my ad set is set to conversions with my thank you page as the conversion event location. So she's optimizing for conversions. She's confirmed that. Jenna says, I just can't figure out why it's not tracking conversions. It's done so in the past campaigns. No problems there. I'm optimizing for link clicks right now until I get enough conversions. Could that be why? Thank you for any feedback or suggestions. So I just want to kind of clarify one thing that Jenna just said right there. She says, I'm optimizing for link clicks right now until I get enough conversions. I'm going to do a whole episode on this here coming up on the podcast, but basically you need to be getting about 50 conversions. If your objective is conversions, then Facebook wants you to be getting about 50 conversions over a week's time period. That is sort of giving the algorithm enough data to start to optimize your ads for you. If you're not, then you're going to see delivery kind of tank on your ads. It's not going to do well. So what in that case, if you don't think you're gonna, and again, I'm gonna do a whole episode on this. I'm not gonna go into this fully right now, but if you don't think that you're gonna be getting, 50 conversions over that over a week's time period, then what you wanna do is go to sort of the step previous to where the conversion is happening. So move a little bit further up your sales funnel. So what Jenna is doing here is she's optimizing for link clicks until she gets enough of those conversions. Okay. And she says, could that be why? I don't think that's the issue, Jenna. The first thing that I would check is, now Jenna didn't clarify if she's doing custom conversions or standard events. And so I'm going to assume, though, that she's doing custom conversions. So the first thing that I would do is I would check to make sure that when she sets up the custom conversion, that she's not using the exact URL of the thank you page. when setting up that custom conversion. Okay. Instead, I would be using the URL contains and simply include everything after the www. So instead of putting in like HTTP /:// www.rickmulready.com, you're just putting in rickmulready.com. So you're using URL contains, and then you just put in everything after the www dot. Okay. And this is something that we ran into. I don't know what the episode was, episode number, but I talked about this several episodes back where I was talking about the launch that we did middle of last year. We ran into a lot of technical problems. Actually, for this launch that I'm talking about now, that was in November of 2017, where we ran into, for the first few days, we were running into the exact same problem where we couldn't get the tracking to come up. We saw conversions coming into Infusionsoft. We saw conversions coming into GoToWebinar, but they weren't showing up in Ads Manager. Everything was checking out right. And so we had never had this problem before. We'd always used the exact URL of the thank you page when setting up the conversion. And then when we made this change right here, when we went to URL contains and then we put in everything after the www dot, then things started to work. Okay. And things started to track and show up correctly in Facebook. So this is what the first thing I would check for Jana is this something that, that she did? If so, make that change and should be off to the races. Now, what I don't think is the issue, but is a common explanation for why Facebook ads or results often don't match third-party tools, because everyone always said, well, you know, Facebook isn't matching my email CRM or my webinar system or my lead pages or whatever it is. First of all, it's never going to match 100%. It's just not going to. But when there's big disparities there, that's when people start to freak out. And one thing we have to remember is that when we are looking at stats in Ads Manager, we are looking at a specific attribution window, right? So it's 28 days post-click, for example, or 7 days versus, you know, 1 day view, that sort of thing. So we're looking at the stats based on an attribution window that you set. So because of that, your results in Facebook ads reporting may differ from those third party tools that you are using, because when the third party tools show results based on when that conversion happens, so when somebody opts in or when somebody purchases something, and not when they saw the ad necessarily. Okay. So for that reason, you're going to see a discrepancy between the numbers that you see, you know, in your GoToWebinar or in your lead pages or whatever it is, your email CRM, versus what you're going to see in Facebook. Now, what you don't want is huge discrepancies there, because then there's probably something wrong with the pixel or something like that. But I don't think that's the problem. I just wanted to share that with you because that is a common issue that comes up that a lot of people ask about, that explanation should help explain why you are seeing that. In Jana's case here that we're talking about, where she's seeing, you know, she's gotten 6 conversions over 2 days, but she's not seeing them in Ads Manager, but she is seeing them in her Aweber and lead pages. I think it would be how the custom conversion is set up. I'd do URL contains and then simply include everything after the www instead of the exact URL. So really good question there. That's a question that comes up a lot, which is why I really want to talk about it here today on this episode. And I hope this Q&A was helpful for you. The most important thing, guys, with all this is that you don't give up. Keep moving forward. Keep testing, because when you keep testing and have the right mindset of continuing to move forward, that is when you start to see momentum and you start to see success. Now, before we wrap up today, I want to tell you about my Accelerator group coaching program. If you'd like hands-on help from me and my team in growing your business, then I invite you to check out the Accelerator Group Coaching Program. This is designed to help you more quickly take your business to the next level. And I've designed the Accelerator around a framework of 3 key elements: high-level coaching, community, and accountability. And I really created this program because these 3 key elements are what have allowed me to get to where I am in my business and what I have found really, really works for growing my business really quickly. And I want the same for you. So when you join the Accelerator program, you're going to get a 12-month personalized game plan for achieving your goals from me. You also get, we do 2 monthly group coaching, training, and hot seat strategy calls each month. There's 2 live private retreats in San Diego. You get a VIP experience and a VIP day at one of my FBA live events here in San Diego. You get a private Facebook group, as well as personalized funnel critiques, ad critiques, copy reviews, launch strategy reviews, and feedback, and a whole lot more. If you think coaching, support, and accountability is something that can help you fast track the success of your business, then I definitely invite you to check out my Accelerator program, which you can do over at rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. I love doing these Q&A episodes. I've got another awesome episode coming your way, coming up in the next episode. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.